tonight, if you will, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. I want to bring you a message tonight on this thought. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? What does the Lord require of me and you? That is the question tonight. And we know that this morning, like this morning, I said some about that questions. It's not a question that's ever come up in during life, ever since the beginning of time, that it has not been an answer for that question. And thank the Lord that He gave us the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that He gave us His dictionary. He gave us His dictionary right here. And that's what a dictionary is supposed to be used for, to find out what each and every word stands. And but today people don't look at it that way no more. Cause, you know, I really hate to say this, but the people you come in contact with today, I mean the young ones that's 8, 9 years old, up to the 50s and 60s and the 70s, if they're not saved, they do not have respect for nobody. They don't have respect. The children, they don't have respect for the parents. And the parents, they don't have no respect for the church house. They don't have no respect for God's people, because it ought to tell the individual. They ought to figure out the reason we come to them. We shouldn't have to tell them that we come here because we don't want you to die and go to hell. No, we're there to encourage them to come to church. Come to church and then give a life to the Lord. But like I said this morning, I believe if an individual will truly come to church, if they're saved, they're out of church tonight, but if they truly come back to church, and if they would just promise, just 30 days, like I said this morning, just 30 days, if they say, Lord, I got 30 days I'm going to give you. Anything you want me to do, anything that I feel like that the pastor or the deacons or Sunday school teacher or who it is tells me what I must be doing for you, Lord, I want to do that for 30 days. Then, at the end of 30 days, then I can go back to living the way that I was living then. Now, he said, but I'm going to need your help to be that. And I believe that if the people would just come in, just take a chance. That's all it is, just taking a chance. Don't come in expecting that so-and-so is going to be there. That when back in 1986, me and the individual was discussing something, and really I can't tell you what it was, but it got on kind of more disagreements, and my feelings got hurt. I said, well, have you ever asked yourself, does God's feelings don't get hurt? I think they do. I think we hurt them all the time. That's the reason he says in the book of Revelation that he says, I will wipe all your tears away. Now, he could have just said tear, but he didn't even say that. He said, I'll wipe all your tears away. So that tells me that as the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to wipe all of my tears away at the end, or even wipe my tears away today, it's not because of anything that I've done, but it's because of the one that I trusted. And, well, what does the individual today, what individual today, they can ask God, God, what would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do? We see right here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Verse 12, and now, Israel, what doeth thee, Lord, thy God require of thee, but to fear thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's thy God, thy earth also with all that therein is. He's telling right here in these two verses right here. He's telling the children of Israel there, he says, now, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments and you need to follow them. And as he told them that, he was expecting them to follow him. Because he was expecting for Moses to go up on the mountain and to ask the Lord to carve the Ten Commandments into stone. And he was up there praying, he was talking to God. Then he come back from the top of the mountain. He come back down. And he didn't say a word then when he come all the way back down, when he could see the people. He looked over the side of the mountain there, and he seen down where all the people was at, what they was doing. They was carrying buckets and of gold that they had melted down from the rocks that they had gathered the gold from. They had melted it down to where they can be able to take and create their own self a God. Nebuchadnezzar, that's what he wanted. And back then, if Nebuchadnezzar wanted it, the people were so scared of him and so scared of his army that he got what he wanted. You say, well, did the Lord ever punish him? Oh, yeah, I think he did. Because we can go back over there where in Daniel is talking about that, where you go over that chapter 3, he's talking about the three Hebrews, then you go over a few more chapters, then you're talking about, Daniel, and you're talking about the others there. But the thing about it is, Nebuchadnezzar, you always heard from Nebuchadnezzar. Always heard from him. Why? Because he was a figure in that day. Now, when I say a figure, I'm talking about he was the king, or he was the great one back then. And if you ever wanted to go anywhere, you had to ask Nebuchadnezzar to be your master. You had to ask him to help him to build the things right here. And he says, do you remember the three Hebrews? That they defiled me? And that's what you get. And I'm giving you an example of what will happen to you also if you defile me. And if you say you're not going to do it, you know then that I'm going to take and I'm going to throw you in the furnace. Well, and I believe that Nebuchadnezzar would have done it. I honestly do. But after, I think what got a hold in his heart was when his army had come back and reported to him about the three Hebrews, that he asked them, he says, could you see the individuals in the fire? He says, yeah, we can see them. We can see exactly who they were and everything. He said, but you know, he says, there's something that I can't kind of grasp. And I don't know how it happened because, you know, we got the only key that they asked to the furnace room. We got the only key. But we've seen another individual. We've seen a fourth man there in the middle of the furnace. And he looked like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar said, no, impossible. I'm just thinking the way that they would put it and the way I'm putting it this tonight. But yes, they was thinking about all of that. The soldiers was thinking about it also. But see, Nebuchadnezzar had never given God anything. He had never given God a chance. He had never looked unto God. But God was looking on him. He was looking on him to the point that as far as his life was concerned, he was up in high office. He was above anybody else in the surrounding area. And with that in mind, I believe that that's when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, got a hold to his heart. I believe he got a hold to his heart when the old soldiers come back and reported back to him. He said, oh, King, he says, we don't see just three individuals. We see four. And you didn't put somebody in there yourself, did you? You didn't put somebody in there right before we got there, did you? I mean, they was asking the king that. The king says, you know better than that. You know, I don't even go to the door. I don't even go and see them because what we've been through and what we've seen in the past, that they guffed up in flames. Now the type of the furnace there, what that's a type of, that's a type of what hell is all about. But you know, with all of that, saying all of that, I believe the Nebuchadnezzar got so under so much conviction that he come back. And he said this. No crying away. If I can find it right quick. It's in Daniel chapter 3. Right here, he's talking about the Hebrew, and he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar also. Says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. We are not careful. In other words, we need to be mindful of what we say. We need to be mindful of whom we serve. We need to be mindful of what's going on around us. We know that we've seen Moses go up on top of the mountain. We've seen where somebody, Moses was up there. It doesn't say how many days he was up there. But Moses had been up there for a while, they thought, because Moses had chiseled the Ten Commandments down, the Ten Commandments that God gave him. But no, I think who wrote the Ten Commandments was God himself. God himself took his forefinger, and he came down, he reached down all the way from heaven on the two tablets, and he wrote out the Ten Commandments. He wrote out the Ten Commandments. Who did he write them to? For the children of Israel. Because they had already trying to defy God. Because they got to the point that really they didn't believe in God no more. So God asked Moses to go to the top of the mountain. He gave them 10 commandments to the children of Israel. He gave the 10 commandments that where Moses can share them 10 commandments. Are we sharing his word today? Are we going to go and maybe if we happen to pick up the phone, somebody call us, a neighbor call us, or a friend, or maybe a daughter, or a son, or a grandchild, or whatever. If they happen to call us this week, will we be willing to say, son, daughter, you know I love you.
And you know, so I think it's hard for the individual to say that you love someone more than you do them. Oh yeah, I love my wife to death. I really do.
I mean, if she happened to leave me if she happened to get up in the morning, and if she happened to go in her bedroom tonight before we went to bed and everything, and I'd be in our study and looking over something, and she's in there packing her suitcase.
Then in the morning, when my daughter gets ready to leave work, she leaves from work, back to Miss State. She gets out of the driveway. She knows what's going on also. And then my wife, I usually kind of sleep kind of hard when I do. She didn't think I'd hear her. I did hear her. God woke me up and seeing what I would lose here in this life
if she ever left me. If my wife left me, I would have to resign from the church. I couldn't pastor again. I believe that. I don't think I got a thing to worry about. Because when she goes out that door with that suitcase, she thinks that she's got a dog out there now that's called Winston that kind of nips at her leg or her feet or something like that. She ain't gonna have to worry about it. She's gonna feel somebody stepping on the heels of her. I said, because if you ever leave me, don't make no difference what I've got or not. I'm coming with you. We'll say, no, you ain't. I said, you try to stop me. I said, I'm going where you're going. And with that in mind, that's where I want to go. I want to go where Jesus is at. Oh, glory to God. I want to go where he is at. Because he's done so much for me. He's given us the same Ten Commandments that he gave the children of Israel. But you know something? He didn't ask us to keep the Ten Commandments. He didn't ask us to keep every one of them commandments. No, he didn't command us but a couple things. And the first one is that we must love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And when we do that, then we won't have a thing to complain about. If your wife's mad at you, then your wife is going to come and you're going to say, honey, I'm sorry. I don't know what I've done, but I'm sorry. Or the husband, anything was said, yeah, honey, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to say that. But then they'll come back, each one of them come back and say, well, you know, I want to know what you're sorry for. What did you say that you feel like you had to come to me? Tell me I'm sorry. What did I have to do to come to you and tell you that I'm sorry? Now, once she gets saved, and I believe this, the compassion what Jesus Christ has leaves heaven, comes to earth, and instilled within each and every individual that has ever accepted the Lord. An individual that will come up to me and say, yeah, I'm saved. I don't go to church, but I'm saved. Do you love the enemy? No, I don't love my enemy. What they do? What they do for me? No, they done stole from me. They done stole this, and so stole this, and that, and everything else. Says, why should I care for them? Why should I tell somebody else? Yes, I love them. I said, well, you just proved one fact. The fact that when you said that you were saved, but you didn't go to church. You maybe one time went to church one or two times and you didn't get saved. You're still not saved today. I said, because I believe that the Lord that I serve and the three that I want to meet one day, that I need to love people. I just should not love just this type of people or this type or this brand of people. I should not worry about in the condition that they're in, because I can always go back and look in my own life before I got saved. Oh yeah, I mean, hey, I wasn't the worst sinner. But he didn't say anything else. He didn't say anything at all. About being the worst son. You're a sinner. You need the Lord God. And the reason you're a sinner is because you don't love people. And because you don't want to share with other people the gift that God has given each and every soul. In verse 14, it says, in In verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also with all that are therein is. Everything that his eyes has ever seen in times past, in the present time, and in the future. Everything that his eyes have ever looked on, the Father God, he has had a hand in it. You mean God would allow people to go out here and do some of the things that they do and belittle him? I say, well, yeah. Matter of fact, that's what he tried with Job. He told Satan, he said, Job, he said, God, he said, I'm going to let you have, I want Job, I want him to go around and speak for me. And God didn't say anything against that. God says, you can do anything that you want to Job, but you cannot take his life is the only thing that you cannot do. The reason God said it that way is because he knew Job was a righteous individual. He knew that Job would not turn his back on his Father in heaven. He knew that Job would not turn his back. But how many people today just turn their back on God? How many people that you know of has turned their back on God? Have you asked yourself that question anytime? Why did they turn this back on God? They cannot come up with a good enough reason. Oh yeah, they want to come up with something because the devil's giving them something. And the devil said, you can count on this. And he'll argue with you about it too. But says, this is one thing he ain't going to have no true answer for you. The devil was wrong then. You know, everybody's preached on, everybody, you've heard messages on Job. And how much Job loved God. And how much Job ended up losing. His family, his children, his home, his land, his cattle. And everything that he had worked his life for and built up, Satan took it all away. See, when God came to Job, he said, "Job, says you know something? I had a very interesting conversation this afternoon." And you may know him. Or you may have heard of him. Job said, what kind of conversation did y'all have? He said, the conversation that we was talking about was the conversation about you. He said, oh, man. What in the world has the devil told him now? The devil can come up with a portion of scripture here in the Old Testament, another one there in the New Testament, and then there another one, and so on and so on. And he can take each and every verse, and we can take it and do it and explain it by the way Satan gives it to us. And yes, and what we've just read, it's true. Because it's the Word of God. There's no lie in this book. There are people out here today that are saying that God lies. That God lies to me. And God has lied to you. And everything. Have you ever seen God? No. Have you ever seen the devil? Nope. Not figuratively speaking. But have you seen where God has worked in people's lives? Is it not? I ain't seen it. See, they don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about God's word. They don't even know anything at all about what God's life was. They don't know anything about where God first come from. They don't believe that God first come on the scene. And when he first come on the scene, it wasn't nothing there but just a vast old world, heaven, everything that was around him. And then that's when God said, I believe that this will be a good place to create earth. And where I'm at now, I believe this is the most important place that there is, that we can call this place where I'm at right now, heaven. And he's, you know, people today, they don't believe in that. They don't believe that once they lay the body down, and once the casket is closed, and once the casket is closed, and then once they're put in the ground, they say that's it. That's the end. That's the end. Nothing else is going to ever come up. Nothing else is going to ever happen to your life. Nothing else is going to happen to your family. Because your mother would peaceful. She's in peace today. How can they say that they're in peace when he just told the people that they don't even know the Prince of Peace, which is God the Father? In verse 15, it reveals, notwithstanding thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebucks, and as of the hart. You know, that right there reveals God to us. That don't only reveal God to us, it reveals the Son of God to us. And it also reveals the Holy Spirit to each one of us. And within that, thinking of them three, that we are serving a sovereign God. We are serving a God that don't want to see no one hurt. And thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his patience. God has to give us patience. But we also know what the Bible talks about patience. But watch what we ask for. Because patience will bring about tribulation. And that's going where the tribulation is coming in at there with patience. That is comes in into the fact that when that is when the idea of God speaking unto his people and asking his people, could you help me? Just like the three Hebrews and Daniel, just like John and just like Paul, and just like over in the book of Acts when In the book of Acts, when I think it's chapter 2 or chapter 3 there, speaks about the first church. It speaks about the salvation of God. For the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only ye shall eat the blood, ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat wherewith, thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithes of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of the herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy woes which thou wooest, nor thy free will offering or half offerings with thy hands. You know, God tells us all through the Bible, starting with the Old Testament, going into the New Testament, that he loves us. He loves us unconditionally. Oh yes, I do wrong. Yes, I do some things that to me it's unforgivable, but you know, there's number one thing that's unforgivable in the Word of God. And that is the one sin that will keep us all out of heaven. And that sin is when we tell people. You know, you're here today and you say, well, you told me you was coming to church 2 or 3 weeks ago. I saw you. You said you was coming. But you know, I haven't seen you yet. And I said, I'm not here to beg you or belittle you or anything. But I'm here today to try to help you. And they say, I don't need no help. Well, that's the first lie they told. Right there. They don't think they need help. But we all need help. I need help every day. You need help every day. I'm thankful. And I sure do love him enough to where that he forgives me for what I do wrong. Preacher says, I didn't think preacher's supposed to do anything wrong. I didn't think preachers would do anything wrong to where they can't get up and preach with a clear conscience. The only thing I can say is they're reading from a different book than I am. They're reading from a different book than I'm reading. Because it says, for all. It didn't say, well, this few people over here. You know the reason they said no out? Because of the sin that's in our life. You know the people over here? Well, the reason they said over here? Because they love God. But what happened? What happened to them? They got separated. Their feelings got hurt over here. So they separated. They can't go and speak to some of the ones like. But I always make a point, myself,
go either way, if somebody tells me, and if I hear about somebody saying that I've said something wrong, that I have maybe belittled them or cut them down, something like that, if they say that, whether I said it or not, I would go to them and I would beg them to forgive me. I would beg them to forgive me. You know the reason why I would do that? So they can leave that side. Come back over here and join that side. Because when we all join together in bondage, in unity, in one accord, you can get as many devils that we have in the world, and you can bring them all in here. They can walk in Sunday morning, and we know the way they dress, and we've heard the way they look. They come in, they'll come in smoking, they'll come in drinking, and all of that. Would you ask them to leave? I said, well, what I do, I would go to them and I would ask them. I said, if you've got the drink, you're not welcome inside of the church. Because this church is sacred. This is God's church. It's sacred. And you must consider it sacred. When's the last time you ever seen anybody when you be walking up Main Street or even walking in the mall or something like that? You'd be walking down the mall up there, and next thing you know, you'd be walking down with your wife and everything. And then so you see some other people approaching us. And you can see what kind of life that they're living. They don't look like they took a bath in 3 weeks. They got the long house, a beard that's so scruggly and everything. And they just don't care. They don't care about life. But yet, have I ever seen any of them lately? Or in the last 10 years? Or the last 50 or 20 years that I've seen where people would come down the side that I was on, me and my wife would be on. And yes, and they know that I'm a preacher. They know that I'm a pastor. They know what church I pastor. But have I ever seen one of them, because of the shape that they've got their life into, have I ever seen one of them say, well, we can't go no farther right here. We've got to get up from this side. I know if coming down this side, that's where a majority of the people, when you come in, they come down this side over here, on the right side. And when you leave it, people, you look, come on in, out on left, I mean on the right side. But you know, we can't allow petty stuff to get us down. And that's all it is petty. It's petty stuff. We don't need to allow it to get us down. Now I'm gonna start something a little different. I may have started when I first come here, I don't know, but you know how I am about prayer. You know I believe in prayer. But I'm gonna pray. Then I got something I want to share with you. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message. And Father, we do thank you for your compassion and your love. And Father, I am so grateful that you have instilled within my heart and within my mind that I know that according to Scripture, that I must love any and everybody. I must not pick and choose who do I love. I must not pick and choose the ones that I need to speak to. I need not to pick and choose the ones that I need to go visit. I always need to
lean on thee, where you will give me a place to go visit. You will give me the very words that need to be said. And Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. And Lord Jesus, we just pray, God, that you will just touch this church. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, I trust you as your divine healer. I do thank you for the surgeons. I do thank you for the doctors that we have. But I'm so thankful that you are the one that has brought about the healing process. And Lord Jesus, we pray this evening, Father, that for each and every individual here tonight, Father, that you will heal something that's in their life. The Father, maybe something that they know that they need to be doing, but they haven't done it. Father, reveal unto them that you love them, and you love them so much that you give them the authority from heaven to go in your name and to share your word with people. Because I believe now, in heaven, all the crying and all the weeping that's going on there in heaven, they're thinking about us. They're thinking about the life that we're living. What they're thinking about us. Now, why in the world, Don, just don't give up the church? He hasn't done anything. The church won't grow. Won't you just leave the church, just resign? Father, I can't resign. Because, Father, if I do, where are you going to put me at? And, Lord, if I resign on my own, you're not going to put me nowhere. And I believe this, that when you open this door here, and I believe it within my own heart. Now, I don't know what's on the people's heart, but my prayer was that, Lord, if you'll place me there, if you'll give me what I need and give me the peace that will handle. Father, I'll be there until you call me home or until you call the church home. Father, because I don't want to be one of these preachers that goes from church to church. You hear some preachers, they've been pastoring for 30, 40 years, and then they tell you that they've represented over 17 or 18 churches around in the county and the state. That's sad. So, Father, this evening, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Now, this time, I'm going to ask everyone here. I know that some of you can't. If you can't, that's fine. Everyone to stand. And we're just going to have one song, and that's going to be The Amazing Grace. And Brother Bill and Sister Nancy, y'all start us out. But as you're singing it now, if it's anything that you've thought about,